everybody. Welcome to Ask the Pastor. I'm here with J.D. Greer. I am your humble host, Matt Love. Probably not as humble as he should be.
I really appreciate you enunciating the K in Ask the Pastor. I feel like that's an important...
Ask the Pastor.
Yes.
Yeah. I take allocution very seriously, and it's part of the reason I got this job, I think. So,
and I take interlocution very seriously, which is why I'm doing this, so...
And now JD and I each owe each other a dollar because we bet each other that we couldn't use those words in the podcast. So good for us. We break even there. All right, JD, we're in our last week of an 8-week series. This kind of series we've been doing on spiritual disciplines, been unbelievable. It's just been, I think, really, really helpful, really, really practical, great way to start the year. And so now we're talking about our last discipline, is the spiritual discipline of worship. So JD, what does that mean? The discipline of worship, is that the discipline of listening to, you know, your elevation mix when you have your time with God? Is it, you know, you only listen to Christian rap? What is the discipline of worship? Help us understand that.
Only listen to Christian rap. I've never heard that as a prescription for,
most of the questions were Toby Mac related. So I just wanted to make sure that got in there. So,
I'm actually excited to talk about this one because I do think this might be one of the least understood spiritual disciplines. You say worship, the first thing that pops in people's head is usually, you know, the three or four worship songs we sing when we gather at church, or maybe you even think the genre of the music itself. But Jesus said that the great commandment was that we love the Lord our God with all our hearts, souls, and minds. That's the first one. And that is the heart of everything else that we do. That's worship. It's not just something we can, you know, boil down to an hour that we do together on Sundays. It really is supposed to be our entire life. That is not to downplay the importance of that corporate time of worship. It's just to say that, you know, Paul says, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we should do it all as an act of worship of the glory of God. There is no second of my day that should not be done as an act of worship. If I'm having a conversation with a stranger at Chipotle, I should be able to think of this as a way of worshiping God because of the way I'm interacting with this person, with, you know, how I'm treating that person in God's name. And the reason for that is because ultimately we were created for God. We were created, as St. Augustine said, so that everything we love, everything we do for somebody else or for something else, we're ultimately doing first and foremost for God. That way that I respond to that person in the restaurant, the way that I respond to my kids, the way that I eat my food, even Paul says, is done to the glory of God. One of my favorite devotional writers, Chris T. Green, he says, worship is not part of the Christian life. Worship is the Christian life. And what that means is that you could be really busy with all these other spiritual disciplines. I mean, you could just, you know, have your little chart out and you're getting gold stars every single day. But if they don't come out of a heart of passionate love for God, then it's all just dry, dead religious formality. So I want to say, I want to emphasize, it's the whole totality of your life. That said, we do here at the church, just to make it practical for people, say that there are two anchor disciplines that can really help you begin to think like that. What I don't want to do is have people substitute these two disciplines and think that that is worship.
Yes.
That's the whole point of that little monologue I just went on, was to say you can't reduce it to a couple activities in the week. But we say these are like anchor habits. You know, I think one of the great leadership book, Atomic Habits. If you do these, it'll help you think rightly the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. And one of them is weekly corporate worship. You know, as in coming to church each weekend, just like Jesus commanded, he says through the writer of Hebrews, you know, that book is inspired by the Holy Spirit. He says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. The gathering of the church was a crucial part of your discipleship. So we say that that's one thing. For lack of better words, go to worship. The second is a daily personal worship time. A daily personal time that you meet with God, like we see exemplified in the life of Jesus. For years now, for over 25 years, I've done this in the mornings. I have very few days that I miss. I don't say that as a way of boasting, just to say that it's become such a central part of who I am. I'm desperate for it, to meet with God, to align my heart with God, to hear from him, and to say, Lord, this, you get the first moments of my day, so that the rest of the moments ultimately come out of a heart of love for you. And so I hope that you practice both. I hope that you have a daily quiet time. I hope that you're regular in church. If you're, especially that first one, if you're looking for ways to get help on a daily quiet time, I would encourage you to our Summit Church app. You don't have to be a part of the Summit Church to use it, but it has a little, the opening tab is Daily Revival, and it'll walk you through scriptures. It'll give you some prayer requests, ways to pray. It's kind of our way of giving you a one-stop discipleship, you know, quiet time thing. The other one is a little one that I use. We have no personal part in this one, but it's Lectio 365.
Yeah.
It's just a great way to get your quiet time started. You'll probably end up doing more, but it's a great 8 to 10 minutes that you can either listen to or read that will walk you through some scriptures and some prayer points.
Yeah, that's really, really good. And you know, you mentioned the apps, and that kind of actually is a good segue into this next question, because, you know, this is a question from Dalton that I feel like, you know, 5 years ago, I don't know who would have been thinking about this question. And now it's 2024 and everybody's thinking about this question. But Dalton asked this question, which is really, really, really helpful. What is the importance of worshiping together in person, I think is the implication, instead of worshiping online?
Yeah, that's a very relevant question, and I don't want to impugn anybody's motives. And I want to say that if you're one of those people that for whatever reason, health is just doesn't allow you to be around people. I know that we're kind of out of COVID, but you know, there are still people that just for whatever reason, maybe they're just shut-ins. And so what a gift online worship is to be able to do that. But you don't want to use something that is okay in an extraordinary situation to then become a replacement for what you should do. So many of the commands, Matt, in our Bible are one another commands. Jesus says, John 15, you should lay down your life for other people in the church. So how am I supposed to lay down my life for somebody that I never really even see and I'm not in relationship with? Christianity is an incarnational, the whole point of Jesus coming to earth, he didn't, you know, send down a Zoom screen and say, here's what I want. He became one of us. So there's certain aspects of relationship that can only be done in person. I kind of think of it like this, so people that just say, well, I'm more comfortable at home in my pajamas watching church on TV. I'm like, well, it's kind of like, you know, every once in a while, if I'm on a mission trip, a business trip of some kind, and I love to see my kids, you know, and so I'll Zoom in with them. We'll talk, FaceTime. I've been sick before in our house, and I just so wanted to be a part of family dinner that I was in my bedroom, and I just, you know, I literally FaceTimed in. They put me at the head of the table, and I was like part of family dinner, even though, but, you know, if I came home every night from work, bypassed the kids, went straight up to my room, shut the door, and then just Zoomed in for dinner, you would say that's not a good relationship with your family. If my wife and I, you know, I like to talk with her when I'm traveling, but if we're in separate bedrooms and we're talking on the phone for a few minutes each night, that is a very poor relationship. And so use it when it's there. If you got to travel one weekend and that's the only thing you can do, yeah, I get it. That's a good option. But there is an in-personness to the church that cannot, I don't care where technology gets to, that just cannot be taken away. Forsaking not the assembling. Yes, online can be a way of assembling, but there's so many one another commands that are talking about greeting and doing communion together. How do you do that, you know, with the body of Christ? Well, I know you can do it online as a part of the church, but it's just so much more rich and full when there's the incarnational presence.
Yeah, I mean, you know, JD, Lindsay and I, you know, have a 5-month-old, so we kind of, or a few months ago, we were just had a baby and we're a few weeks where we weren't able to go to church. And going to church with an infant is not easy. Like, it's definitely, there are mornings where I'm like, she's not going to take a nap. She's not going to get fed at the right time or whatever. And, you know, we can kind of freak out about those things. So it's not easy. But when we went back to church, it was two things that were really like striking to us. One was we were just like, man, we needed this. And also it's amazing how when you're only even gone a few weeks, you forget how much you need it and what it does do for you. And so being back in it. And so I think just for anybody that's, you know, there's a lot of people like JD mentioned that maybe can't take that step. And we totally understand that. For some of you guys that it's like are in a season where you're wondering if you're ready to step back in and it's little kids or something like that, whether it's the right step, I can't say, but I just know for Lindsay and I, we realized how much we had forgotten how important it was, but stepping back in, seeing friends, being around other people, worshiping with one another, it was so unbelievable for us.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, one thing that you said, I think brings up one more subject I think is really important here. I said that we don't want to judge somebody's motives, but I do know that this trend toward, I'll just do it online, really feels like the next step in just the consumerization of the church. You know, for years, people have been pointing out, sociologists have been, secular sociologists point out, that church has become for people. Like, it's like a McDonald's, you know, it's like, oh, I like the food here, but I like the fries over here. And it's a consumer relationship where certain relationships don't work well as consumer relationships. I don't have that relationship with my wife or my kids. I don't ever sit on my kids and say, you kids aren't doing it for me right now. Yeah. Kids in the neighbor made me laugh. I'm going to go eat over there. It's a covenant relationship.
Yeah.
And for many people, this online option, I can sit in my living room and watch the best preacher in the world, you know, from across the country. I can, you know, be like, that's not the point. The point is not finding the ultimate Big Mac that you like. The point is being a part of a covenant community, and that is going to lead you to be in person, not sitting at home, you know, surfing the internet and just listening to great sermons and great worship music.
Well, JD, that is, again, really helpful. Our last episode in this series, though, actually, we are going to do one more episode this next week. This is kind of a little bit of a recap. I think we're going to do some rapid fire, like try to cover some things we didn't cover. I'll also just say, this is my side gig. I work on the church planting team with the main part of my time, and so I feel compelled to say, if you are looking for a church and you're outside of the Raleigh-Durham area, go to summitcollaborative.org and you can see a bunch of churches that I think are really amazing and see if there's one in your area. So if you're trying to get back into going in person, as always, subscribe to the podcast. When you subscribe, like we all know this, right? It takes 2 seconds, but then you don't have to think about it. They just go right to your phone. They go right to your YouTube because it's YouTube. You open YouTube, we'll just pop up right there at the top. You don't even have to do anything. Make it really easy. Go to YouTube, subscribe at j.d.greer. And we will see you next time on Ask the Pastor.